Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Gathering on Signs of Life Radio, and tonight's topic, well, it's part three, I think, of...
I have part two.
Part two? Well, maybe it's... whatever the number is, we're taking listener questions. People have written in and emailed questions that they have about the afterlife, and we can attempt to address those that came in. Again, repeat that we certainly don't have all the answers or any, but we can make educated guesses based upon anecdotal information and research. So if you would like to take part in the show by calling in, you can do that by calling 888-627-6008. And for a future show, if you want to send in a question, you could do that by writing to an email to radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. So before we get rolling, Fran, do you want to get us up to date?
I would love to get you up to date. So as I always do, I remind our listeners to check the events page on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org. It could change any time, and we don't necessarily catch those changes in between the radio shows for our listeners. So if you're a listener to the radio show, you like to keep on top of our events and our announcements and things we do for free, just go to the website and check the events page, and everything will be listed there. So just to review what we do know now, the free events coming up in September are on September 9th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, that's 11 to noon Pacific. Our online meeting of the Visionary Explorers Group meets. And then on September 16th from 1 to 3 p.m., our Afterlife Discussion Group in Miami, Florida. But I want to caution everybody, that's the 16th, which is the first weekend after Hurricane Irma is due to hit. So you're going to have to double-check on whether or not they will actually be able to hold this meeting in Miami, Florida. And a reminder for everybody not to miss our brand new Afterlife Luncheon event that's going to premiere on October 29th at the Hilton Long Island Huntington in Melville, New York. And it will feature Forever Family Foundation certified medium and New York Times bestselling author Laura Lynn Jackson, author of The Light Between Us, along with New York Times bestselling author and investigative journalist Leslie Kane. She will be presenting evidence of an afterlife from her new book, Surviving Death. Sales have been brisk to this event, so I just want to caution you that if you're interested, grab one of the seats, but keep in mind that we do have a no-refund policy. Don't forget, we do have webinars. The one that is set for September 13th coming up likely is going to be postponed, again, due to the hurricane in Florida. Our annual grief retreat in Chester, Connecticut, sold out way before it was set to go. We do have our next one scheduled for January 5th through 7th in sunny and warm Florida. So by then, everything will be back to normal. So if you are interested in our next grief retreat, take a look at the website, read about the January grief retreat in Fort Myers, Florida. The weekend is an all-inclusive weekend and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Joseph Scheel Janet Nohavik and Doreen Malloy. They'll be working alongside our other professionals and facilitators. And just like our summer retreat, it also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. Our Holidays Past Raffle 2017 is up and running on our website. Win up to 5 medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Renata Santarelli, Renee Buck, Eliza Ray, Catherine Nadal, and Neil Sapowski. The drawing is set for December 23rd. Yes, that is just around the corner, believe it or not. And enter as often as you'd like. Winners are selected randomly by a computer program that assigns consecutive numbers as you enter. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. And if you have a business and you would like to advertise on this show, please email us at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, and I should mention that we're fully staffed here tonight. Tom and Melissa Gould and Bob and Fran Ginsberg, and we're here to answer some questions. Before we get going, I see Melissa has an article that you said was off air, was a little interesting. Maybe you want to tell us about it?
Yes, I'll tell our listeners. I often read Guidepost Magazine, which is a carryover from Tom's mom, who was such a sweet lady, and she always...
She is a sweet lady,
and I feel her presence with me all the time. And so maybe she led me to this article. But in this magazine, what is particular interest to me is called Mysterious Ways. And I would have to say that Guidepost is a Christian-based, the stories and people of faith. But I always put my own spin on it because I believe in just there's something greater than ourselves. And, you know, I don't think you have to call it God, but you just know that there's something that we're all connected to that's greater than ourselves. So I think anybody can interpret it as they wish. So in this particular Mysterious Ways story, this woman has a 5-year-old son, and she and her husband are making plans to go on a faith mission to underprivileged communities somewhere in the world. And she's pretty worried about taking a 5-year-old abroad and, you know, just worried about what the future held for them. So on this one particular day, her 5-year-old asks if they can have a picnic. And she thinks, why not? And so she, you know, makes their sandwiches and grabs a blanket and they go outside. It's on a second-story deck of their home. And while they're sitting out there and enjoying their luncheon, the phone rings, and her immediate reaction is, let it ring, you know, we're doing this right now. But she said, I'll read from the article, she says, but the ringing continued, and she told her son, I'll be right back. She opened the sliding glass door, and on the line was an old friend, someone who she knew she was going to miss when they were away on their mission. And she said, we barely exchanged hellos before a loud, insistent knocking came at the front door. Someone's at the door, she said. I've got to go. And she hung up on her friend, and her son races in from the porch, and he goes, I'll get it, Mom. And they both race to the front door at the same time. They open it, and there's nobody there. So here she was interrupted first by the phone call and now by the knocking at the door. And they say, well, let's go back to our picnic. And with that, they hear a crash, and the whole house shakes, and their dog in the backyard is barking like crazy, and they race back upstairs, and when they get to the sliding glass door to the deck is gone. It had collapsed, and it had completely fallen apart in the backyard. So she first stepped away from her son to the ringing of the phone, leaving him alone on the deck. But then, instantly later, comes the banging on the door,
Somebody was getting their attention.
And
guiding them.
And guiding them.
Trying to get them both off the deck. It just didn't work the first time.
Exactly. So
it would have been a lot easier if they just said, get the hell off the deck, right?
Yeah.
You know, go for all these.
You know, you raise a very good point, Bob. So why don't they just do that? Wouldn't that be great?
But maybe it's, I don't know, which is harder to communicate, you know, a message like that?
But once we can learn how to communicate.
If they heard the message, though, they wouldn't, may not have believed it,
they
right?
They may have heard.
Voice, you know, they may not, but the knock, they knew that they would react to and crash. And
the boy raced in.
The phone and, yeah.
The boy raced in from the deck. So he heard through the sliding glass door somebody knocking down a flight of stairs, clearly, while Mom's on the phone.
Right.
So
it's interesting, you know, because as you mentioned, it is a religious publication, so they might attribute it, you know, to, you know, direct, you know, message or divine intervention. You know, others might say that it was, you know, loved ones that have gone before us, but whatever it is, it's still a non-physical occurrence. So before we get to our, thank you for that. And before we get to all these questions, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in a few minutes. Please stay with us.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio, where this episode is for members to share their afterlife questions, and we've got a bunch of them here. One just jumped right out at me. Question is, if the planet dies, what happens to us?
We're good.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Well, first part of the answer is obvious, right? The planet goes, and we all physically die, but then I guess the point was, where do we go from here, right?
Yeah. The same place. The planet is not the afterlife.
Right.
That's the physical part of the world, and so is our physical body.
Right. So then, for those that believe in reincarnation, if the planet is gone, we're obviously reincarnating to a different planet, right?
Yep. Or reincarnation may stop. Or it may change. It may be totally different.
Or a different kind of life form altogether.
You know what? Yeah, Tom is right, because here's the point. In this physical world we call Earth, Jim Tucker and several others investigate reincarnation, and they come up with very, very, very good scientific evidence of reincarnation. That's based on the laws of the Earth. There are more than likely different laws in different universes. So if we were to reincarnate, and I say that in quotes, into a different universe, reincarnation would fall into a different description, category, whatever. Wouldn't be exactly the same thing.
Right. Well, hopefully it won't come to that, but, we'll deal.
Well, I'm wondering if we've heard all the numerous readings we've heard about loved ones traveling to other galaxies. I mean, I know in spirit you can be anywhere you want to be, but I don't know if I've heard anybody talk about.
No, it doesn't come through in any of the mental mediumship readings where the loved one says, I visited Mars. No, it doesn't. But near-death experiencers talk about visiting the galaxies, other galaxies and stuff. So
do some of the out-of-body travelers talk about that as well.
Yeah. Here's another question. How long should I wait to talk to a medium after a loved one passes? I think we've touched on that kind of before. I don't know if there's any set answer.
No definitive answer to that.
Yeah.
Because As we point out, particularly in the grief retreats, nobody knows exactly what allows the process to take place. So therefore, we know from the data we've collected that there are people who make contact immediately, and there are people who don't make contact for months or at all. So it's a wide answer.
There are plenty of anecdotes about people getting phone calls from someone and then finding out that they'd passed. I know there's one of the books, the fellow who was in an airplane, flying his own airplane, and got the smell of cigar. And the person who had passed was a cigar smoker who liked to fly with him. And you know, those sort of things are pretty instantaneous. In fact, I saw signs immediately the same day that my father passed, and the same week that my mother passed, I saw signs. But we've also heard tell that the spirit on the other side has to learn how to manipulate their energy to come through strongly in a reading. So you might want to give it some time so that they could learn that.
Right. You know, and the other part of it, because the question is how long should I wait to talk to a medium, is the grief aspect of it. You know, you may not be prepared to talk to a medium if it's very new, you know. Maybe, and that could even affect the process, because if you're overwhelmed by grief, you know, maybe you're not allowing the emotions, you know, block the communication. So,
and I think too, Bob, if it were like the opportunity to go to a group reading, someone might think their friends should go along because they're newly grieving. But we know how disappointing that can be if you've just suffered a loss and your loved one doesn't come through. It seems to me it would only make that grief a whole lot worse.
Right. And that, this, the other question, it's a separate question, but I guess it's similar in its scope. The listener writes, prior to my daughter's death, I knew nothing about the different signs that bereaved people claim to receive from their loved ones on the other side. I started receiving signs from my daughter, although I didn't know they were actual signs, almost immediately after her death. However, it's been over 2.5 years now, and the signs are becoming few and far between, even though my need for them is just as strong as ever. Why do you think they're not coming very often anymore?
I want to talk about need, because that's the issue that comes up very, very often. What the person perceives as their need changes. They may not be aware of it. They may not want to admit that the degree of the need changes. But surely when somebody passes suddenly, or even through a long, drawn-out illness, when they pass, the person is in much deeper grief at the beginning, and that will continue for an indefinite amount of time. But as time goes on, not that it goes away, it changes. Mm-hmm. So even though you still have that need, that deep aching need to talk to them, to hear from them, that grief has changed. And so the qualification of the need has also changed.
Yeah, and then there's also, it seems to be a fact that people don't get as many signs and communications as time goes on, for whatever reason. It doesn't mean it can't occur. Sometimes people get signs 30, 40 years, 50 years after, but, you know, we could speculate on why that is. You know, maybe the as Fran mentioned, maybe the need in terms of grief is not as great, but maybe the people on the other side don't feel the need to get through the message that they still survive. Or maybe they have so many other interests, or maybe that roaming the galaxies, or maybe they know that their loved one's going to be there very quickly.
Uh-oh. I want to go back to that. The message that they're okay is the single most important message that they need to get to their loved ones.
Right.
And we've read about this in the channeled book from W.T. Speed, who went down in the Titanic and describes the people dying and crossing over at that time. And he says that everybody is met by a group of entities already on the other side whose job it is to assist them in getting those immediate messages back to their loved ones, letting them know they're okay. So that's their goal. I'm okay. I'm here. I'm okay. If they continue doing it, that's great, but like you said, there's got to be other stuff they're doing there.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for a lot of people, you know, it's never enough. You know,
right. That's
just
true.
More and more and more. Let's go to a phone caller and take
We have Bob on line two.
Hello, Bob. I wanted to add a comment to the question about how long to wait.
Sure.
My wife contacted me about 3 months after her passing, and the first thing she said was, "Sorry, it's been so long. They've been keeping us really busy."
Wow. I love that, Bob.
I do, too, because that's what we read in Testimony of Light. I don't know if you've read that book, Bob, but it's a fascinating perspective from the other side, and they do sound busy. I mean, there's a lot going on.
And it shows you the nature of time. You know, here I'm sure, Bob, 3 months is an eternity, because after losing, you know, suffering that loss, and then then getting the message, "I'm sorry it took me so long," right? So, well, thanks for sharing that.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
See you off. Are you still there, Bob?
Yes.
I was curious, have you been to a medium?
Not trying to contact my wife. I had, actually, many years ago, I was studying psychic development, and friend in the class told me that her brother had died in an auto accident, and she frequently felt his presence in her apartment. So I suggested we get together sometime and see if we could contact him. And after several attempts, we got to the point where she was asking questions, I was hearing the answers, and relaying the answers to her.
Wow.
Wonderful.
That's fabulous.
So it really affected my my belief about the afterlife.
Yeah. Well,
keep it up, Bob. I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thanks for sharing.
Fortunately, that was a one-time success.
Well, there's a lot more to come.
That's true.
Yeah.
Take care. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. We've been talking around this a bit, but I think that as Fran mentioned, that the message that the person is okay is the message. And kind of once you've gotten that message, and as Bob on the phone mentioned, you know, he got an actual reading came through to him, which he hasn't repeated, but it's enough to let you know that it does exist. And I think the great healing for me, certainly, and people I've seen, is once you know that, once you understand and believe that, then your life is different. I mean, it from then on in, it doesn't matter. You know, life and death are just words because your life is eternal. So once you really take that into your marrow, that you know that you're going to be existing in one form or the other forever, it doesn't matter so much that you're on this plane or not on this plane. And also the messages that we get that your loved ones are still existing as well, and you will meet up again.
Right. And that's reinforced very often by the other things, you know, your readings, your other experiences, and put the whole package together makes a big difference.
I think that's the important thing, that it is a whole package, and that if you don't understand exactly what Tom just explained, then you can't move forward in the grief, because you get stuck in that sense of loss and separation. Whereas if you truly understood, A, you're not separated, they're still here, and B, you are going to see them again, then there is no loss, true permanent loss and separation. It's almost like if you can understand, it's just a very long vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, we're somewhat glib about the way we're speaking because we have studied this and that. And for anybody out there listening who's in total grief, we don't approach it lightly in any way, and know that, yeah, the pain that the love, the wish that the person was sitting next to you is never going to go away. And in a way, fortunately, because then when you actually see the person again, it'll be a wonderful reunion. But there really is no cure for grief, but there is an understanding that makes it that you can go on with life.
And as Fran said, and your grief changes, so
it doesn't leave. It doesn't leave. It changes because you learn to keep that hurt, that separation, in a comfortable place, so that you can go on, you can go to work, you can eventually do many of the things that you've done before. But as Tom said, and we can't say it enough times, the grief doesn't go away. It just changes, and you learn to have a comfortable place to keep it. Neither does the relationship go away. Again, that changes. And I love the way that Melissa just put it, what excitement it will be when we do have the reunions with them.
Yeah. A more light-hearted question.
Okay.
when the speakers are doing the show, do they feel or see spirits join them at the show?
Aww.
Do they send messages? Well, first, During medium and messages, yes.
That's true, yes.
But I think the question...
And let's clarify, that's on the third Thursday of every month.
And, you know, as far as the interview shows, I don't know. I mean, you know, certainly if we were interviewing a scientist, I wouldn't, you know, expect it, although who knows. But we never thought to ask, you know, any of our guests if they... I seem to recall one or two saying that... You know,
well, I just want to point out that I think it was maybe 2 or 3 months ago that we were doing the gathering and the TV turned itself on in the room, so or turned itself off with something.
Did the lights go off on us? So
yeah, we've had those things. So
must have been something that Tom said.
We do get visits, but nobody has yet materialized.
Yeah. We're still waiting, though. We'd appreciate it.
We'll report on that.
Yeah. Next question. When a baby dies and then comes to us as spirit, is he still a baby? Is he unable to speak? Thoughts?
Well, speaks an interesting word, but yes, we've had babies. Actually, we've had babies that were never born, for whatever reason, that the pregnancy did not finish. And I've seen mediums bring through those babies who thank the mother for all the love that was given in the short time that was there. So, yes, those spirits can communicate as much as anybody else. And if we're talking a visual, then... yes, they would probably look like babies, because if they came through as an adult and they had died as a baby, you wouldn't know who it was. So I'd say yes to that answer. Yeah.
And I do recall a group session once where the medium described all the other entities that were waiting to make connections on the other side for the people in the audience, and they were bringing forth a baby. So they all had gotten together to bring the baby to the front of the line so that the baby could communicate first. Mm. So, yeah.
Well, you know, we're thinking a baby and chronologically, you know, but that baby could be an old soul, so to speak.
Right, but I think that the important point in mediumship readings in particular is that when they bring through a scenario or a person, that image that's being conveyed to them or the story that's being conveyed to them is within our own terms of understanding. So the mother who had lost this baby would never expect that the baby would push ahead anybody else to come through in a reading. So for the spirits on the other side to create this ceremonial thing, mm-hmm. saying, here, we're bringing you the baby, I think it's a beautiful thing.
That sounds beautiful. And speaking of speaking, pets come through, and presumably they never really spoke while they were in physical form.
Well, there you go, being psychic again, because the next question on the list is, do animals communicate with us after they die? We see them again, so stop reading my mind.
Can't help it.
So, and as Melissa said, very definitely that animals communicate with us telepathically and in a language that we can understand, as hard as that is for many people to believe.
I also have to share, at least my own experience, is that they find it a lot easier to hang around than people. That I have very often, and of late, almost tripped over a cat that wasn't there. So I do a double step because I'm seeing a cat on the floor, and then there's no cat there when I look down. So, and I have plenty of cats on the other side.
Yeah, I'm amazing you could walk. Certainly have a lot. All right, it's time for a break, so stay with us, and we'll be back in a few moments.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti.com.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. Are on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're continuing with the members as they share their afterlife questions. Next question is, do hateful people remain hateful after they die?
Well, I've heard tell that personalities come through in the same way so that you might recognize them, but that a growth process begins when you get to the other side. So hopefully those traits or characteristics change or are done away with as one grows, and hopefully they just don't stay stuck, because also what I believe we read in Testimony of Light, there are no facades, so you're clustered together. So hateful people will all be clustered together in one hateful group.
Well, you know, it's twofold on that. Number one is there, I've seen several readings and read about people who come back to apologize.
Right.
For being,
I think,
just
that's what
that kind of a
looking
person.
At is that the growth.
And then the speaking of testimony of light, there was somebody who I think was a Nazi or something like that. So, and he was put into a room and dealt with by the person who was. Had to, was assigned to him, and you know, to work things out. So if you don't find it on your own, there is spirit over there who will help you find it. And those are the two
like,
ways.
Yeah. When our caller Bob said his wife said they keep him really keep them really busy.
That's the kind of
that thing. Might be the being assigned to someone depending on what your strength.
I mean, let's just consider this for a minute that. The Nazi or the horrible person or the murderer or whoever it is that's now on the other side chose to incarnate as that horrible person to have that horrible physical experience. I mean, let's consider, you can't have a physical world without a negative side to it. Otherwise, then it's all the other side of love and compassion. So we need that. So somebody's got to incarnate as the bad people. So you have the bad people there. So when you go back, it's almost like a debriefing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more like that rather than, oh, we have to grow your soul back. Maybe we have to bring you back into the fold of what it's like on the other side. So we have to debrief you.
Maybe if it's true that you come here sort of with a blueprint and you've agreed to go through what you end up going through, and in the moment, in this physical world, you go, I would never agree to something like this. But let's just say before you were born into the physical world, you did, because perhaps that would be the learning experience that would jump you way up to the next level. Like, come back, be this hateful person, do this horrible stuff, but just know then that will advance you. Almost like a game on a game board, you know?
Yeah.
You have some strategy that shoots you to the top of the game.
Yeah, and I think
way to develop a game.
If they're hateful people remain hateful, at least initially, it doesn't make the whole thing doesn't make sense if they just stay like that in eternity. You know,
right.
And I think that, like when Fran mentioned that you tend to gather with like-minded people on the other side, which is true, but it's not a heaven or a hell. Type of a thing. It's a self-judgment, you know. I mean, maybe when you went through your life review, you realize that you're a hateful person and you deserve to be, that your place is with other hateful people, you know. But if for the whole purpose of the continuum of life is to progress eventually and move towards the light of compassion and love, so that it doesn't make sense to me that some people would remain like that, you know, in eternity. But the whole thing doesn't seem to work.
No, I don't think so.
No, but then there's still the personality question, because if you recall, years ago we saw that medium that brought through only dark information about people.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing positive about the readings.
I know. I thought I was on candid camera sitting there watching it. Like, he's saying, he didn't say one positive thing. No.
Oh,
I was like, oh, I got your uncle here. He was quite a terrible person. I mean,
oh, I think it was worse than that. He was saying, I have your uncle here. Boy, what a son of a bitch.
Wow.
Like, you know, I mean, you don't hear those things.
Yeah, we really thought it was a comedy hour, not a mediumship reading.
Yeah.
But it was that was the way this guy did it.
Wow.
Or maybe he only brings through darker vibrational.
Well, you know, and that brings up another question, because we've looked, we've heard about it, and a lot of people will practice this in groups and seances, you know, where they try to perform these soul rescues, you know, so there'll be a person that's in this self-imposed darkness, or for lack of a better term, you know, some vague existence with no real meaning, and then everybody sends their positive thoughts and points them towards the light, because they can't recognize the light. They only see darkness, and they see a glimmer of light, and they move towards it, and the person, you know, evolves, and, you know, maybe that's the way it were. I used to
not buy into that, but the more I read, I think I do, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe people do need help. Maybe the help doesn't only come from the other side, you know, the help still comes from physical worlds, you know, where our thoughts travel to. So, you know, and then the other thing that goes along that, there's another question here, you know, can spirits harm us in any way? Now, I don't think that spirits can harm us in a physical sense, but if you had one of these hateful people that somehow could put thoughts in your head,
mess with your mind,
I'm open to that, you know, possibility, you know, or even simple things like, you know, they're trying to live vicariously because they're still attached to the physical world, and they were heavy drinkers, so they, you know, suddenly, you know, people start drinking, or maybe they were big gamblers, and, you know, and all of a sudden you find people that have an urge to gamble, you know, I don't know.
Well, you know, just consider it. Before the mediums start to do a reading, they usually protect themselves. In fact, I think they all the developed mediums, will protect themselves before opening up and allowing spirit to come through. And maybe just because they need to be wary of dark entities that might find their way in.
You know, a lot of people write in very similar things because, and I understand it because that's what everybody's looking to do. And that is, you know, what can we do, personally to enhance connection with deceased loved ones? That is asked in many different forms because, let's face it, everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people, especially people in our audience, are looking to communicate with their loved ones. So, I mean, we might as well talk about that again.
I think it's an important thing to talk about because, it seems like a very simplistic question, what can I do? But what you can do, and there are many things you can do, is you still have to work at it. There's no quick fix to this. There's no simple answer. And one of the exercises that you'll have to do for weeks and months and maybe even years before you get results may not work for you and may work for someone else. So these are all different. There are many, many different tools out there available to enhance your ability to connect to the other side, but there's no magic bullet that says, okay, let me try that next week. It's not next week. You have to make a commitment to it, and you got to keep trying and trying and trying. There's no silver bullet.
And then, of course, the word meditation is really the key. If you want to explore this, that's the place to start, for one. And for two, I want to also go on record here. I guess could be somewhere in the 10-year range of being part of the Forever Family Foundation and seriously studying this and seeing mediums, reading books, and that sort of thing. And in 10 years, I've seen evidence time and time again of gentle, loving spirits coming to help. I have never once experienced a dark entity.
Mm-hmm.
Never once. I mean, we're here looking for evidence, and I've seen lots of evidence on the one side. I've never seen one shred of evidence on the other side. And yes, I do know how to ask for the surrounding yourself with a white light and protecting yourself. So, and I understand that, and it works. but I've never been unprotected. And I think that as long as you have loved ones on the other side, that you will be protected. And you know, the people who think that we're going down a road of black magic, that we're going to open up a Pandora's box of demons into the world by even discussing this, I've just seen nothing to support that.
You know, not on exactly on the same topic, but more to what Bob was asking about, our daughter's father-in-law, who lost his wife, and we've talked about him before, and he was not a believer, never, ever had even entertained the idea that there was an afterlife. And then, you know, once we chatted with him and explained how he, you know, would see his wife again, and he did see him on one of our talented mediums, and it really just transformed his grief immensely, and he was able to go on. Well, that was back in 2009 that he lost his wife, and it was in, you know, 2009 that he became aware that there was more than just his physical existence. So we saw him a month ago or so, and immediately, we don't see him very often, but when, you know, he instantly connects us with connecting him with his wife, and he told me that, they have a wonderful relationship, and he made it sound like from 3 to 5 p.m. every day they have a conversation.
Wow.
And he, you know, he wasn't completely clear on what's happening, but then he did tell me that it stopped for a while, and he's so innocent, sort of boy-like, and he said, and I was like, oh boy, oh, what did I do? And he really was like worrying, like, what did I do to break the connection? But then he got a sign of some sort months later, and it was like, and now, we're, you know, it's all good again. But he was really aware that there was some kind of disconnect for whatever reason. Maybe she had to go off and do something. Who knows? But it's just so amazing to see somebody who never even dreamt that there was more than
right.
just this physical existence.
Yeah. I know we're kind of winding down, but here's a question. When people die, do they choose to die at a time when their loved ones are nearby or when their loved ones have left? Or does it depend on the soul who's leaving? I've read many, many accounts on this, and I think it depends on the soul, because some people, it's uncanny that they won't leave until their loved one gets there.
Yeah.
You know, and then I've seen other accounts where this is a journey that they want to take themselves, and they don't want their loved one to be there. So they'll purposely wait until their loved one takes a break, you know, or goes for lunch or dinner. And,
yeah.
You know, so I guess it depends on the person who's crossing, right? Mm-hmm. There's no right or wrong way. Just like the way we make decisions in this world, I guess we make decisions on how we want to cross to the next.
Yeah. I can attest to that. My father, who had suffered a stroke and was unconscious and was taken from a hospital in New York City to a hospice out in Port Jefferson. And by his wishes, he ball feeding tubes and whatever was taken away. And my mother and our family sort of realized that we've said our goodbyes and we're just going to let him go and that sort of thing. But then after about 4 or 5 days of him being there, both my mother and me...
And me too, even though we didn't discuss it.
...woke up one morning and said, you know, we really ought to go and just see where he is and that he's being taken care of and all of that, even though, you know, we knew that he was probably not in a shape anybody wanted to see him. And we'd all made that, we were going to go that day, and he passed.
Yeah.
He didn't want us to see him there.
Right. They know, and that just speaks to the fact that consciousness is separate from the physical body.
Yeah.
And that message was pretty loud.
Yeah.
Well, it's about time to wrap up, so Fran, take us...
Okay, we want to ask our listeners... I'd love to. We now
do this time.
Sound come out the way she does it, I hope.
Okay. We're going to ask our listeners to please join us in our healing energy circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Ed O'Brien, Sandy Raybould, Eddie Coons, Linda Ellis, Max Banken, Jerry Deanna, Catherine Pye, Alex Hanna, Veronica James, Matt Mello, Donna Mello, Tina Young, Evelyn Ingram, Cynthia Post, Helen Montalto, Rich LeBly, Lauren Ramnath, Vince Mataya, Isabel Ginsberg, Diane Archangel, Marianne Pierzga, Glenna Irwin, David Hathan, Michael Tim. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And our special thoughts are sent to those people who have been ravaged by the most recent hurricanes in Texas and the forthcoming ones in Florida. And now it's time for us to say,
our loved ones really are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.